Hi, this is Barry List of Informs, and we're talking today with Jake Breeden, the author of Tipping Sacred Cows, Kick the Bad Work Habits That Masquerade as Virtues. Jake recently spoke at the Informs Analytics Conference. Jake, what do you mean by sacred cows in your new book?
Well, thanks for having me, Barry. So sacred cows are these ideas that may have been very helpful in certain contexts, but are often revered beyond reason. So these are things that could have been super good and maybe still are super good in certain contexts, in certain times and places. But in other contexts, they have unintended consequences, and they can backfire, hurting leaders, analytics professionals, and management.
And I was going to say, what happens when business virtues and values backfire, which is very much a theme of your book?
A couple of bad things happen. One is waste, just wasted intellectual energy, wasted emotional energy, wasted time, wasted money. In a way, I think of these sacred cows, these vices that masquerade as virtues, as a kind of hidden tax that we pay that we don't know about, that once we raise our self-awareness and say, oh, you know, I need to think about this concept with a little more sophistication, we can stop paying the tax and we can cut the waste.
In certain ways, these kinds of virtues are worse than vices. Would you agree with that?
Well, yeah, I think so, only because they're hidden, right? Because they're sneaky, right? So the let's be specific here. A vice like greed or laziness, we recognize it, we label it. We all may exhibit vices from time to time. We feel shame. We try to move on and grow out of it. On the other hand, a supposed virtue like collaboration that is really just cowardice in disguise, for example, can linger longer because we don't know that it's actually bad.
You wrote your book for business people to kind of shake them up a bit. Do tipping these figurative sacred cows also make sense for people in this field, the field of analytics?
Oh, of course. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's for anybody who works on anything, because when you work on anything, you want to get things done. And I've had the opportunity to get to know analytics professionals through my work at the Informs Analytics Conference, and I've actually maintained some coaching relationships with analytics professionals, and many of the business clients that I work with. I teach and coach leaders and professionals at companies like Google and Cisco and Starbucks. At each of these companies, there are people who work in analytics areas, and so I've had an opportunity to work with them and help focus them on the sacred cows that may be especially relevant for someone in the analytics profession.
And what are the three sacred cows that specifically touch on analytics, the ones that interfere, let's say, with adopting analytics?
Right. So there are three that I thought were especially important for analytics professionals that I talked about at the conference. And since I've worked more with analytics professionals, I've expanded my thinking, and I'll add a fourth.
But okay.
The three that I would encourage analytics professionals to focus on first and to be wary of are fairness, creativity, and excellence. So should we dive into one
sure,
or more?
Sure. I was going to say, what could be wrong with fairness in life and business? It seems, as you say,
yeah,
like a virtue, but of course it's a virtue in the sense of one of these sacred cows that you're about to tip.
Yeah, absolutely. So let me be clear that when leaders like Gandhi or Martin Luther King advocate for a more fair treatment of groups of people who've been treated unfairly, I am, of course, supportive of that. And moreover, when a leader has a responsibility to work hard to give each member of her team or his team a fair shot, that's a good thing. So fairness can, in fact, be a virtue. And in many contexts, it is a virtue. But in some contexts, it's just an excuse. It's nothing more than an excuse. In certain contexts, you're thinking, wait a minute, I'm not getting the resources, the funds, the attention that I deserve from the organization, given what I've provided to the organization, and you ruminate on this unfair treatment. And in some cases, the research shows quite clearly that people will make decisions that are not in keeping with their values, bad decisions, bad choices. They'll blur ethical lines and excuse it away as, but I was being treated unfairly, so I've got an excuse to behave in this way. So in ways small to large, fairness can often be used as an excuse instead of the helpful virtue that it can and should be.
And can you give an example? You've touched on it a little bit. Where does fairness go wrong?
Yeah. So if you think about resource allocation, you can make resource allocation based on a fairness mindset or based on a more analytical mindset. And I think the analytics profession actually has an important role and an important responsibility inside organizations to ensure that fairness isn't being used as an excuse. And when you're talking to a very senior executive, a very senior leader inside an organization, it may very well be that this deep abiding belief in a fair treatment leads to a confusion in which fairness gets conflated with sameness and parity. And so you just want to allocate the resources in a way that's symmetrical or even, that's similar between organizations. And I think the analytics profession has an important role to play to ensure that these resource allocation decisions are made inside organizations based on good logic and good business sense, and also to become very self-aware of the very real human attachment we have to fairness. Fairness, things that look similar feel fair to us. Like, we're literally hardwired. We have dopamine that's released in our brain when we see things that seem to be fairly distributed, even if they weren't wisely distributed. So I think it's important for analytics professionals to really play a key role in preventing this potential sacred cow from leading to bad decisions inside of companies.
And I can imagine that fairness might bring people to greater cooperation in a certain sense, but on the other hand, as you say, it can lead to the wrong decision.
It can lead to the wrong decisions, and often the dark side of fairness is spite. It's seething, ruminating over a perceived slight, and the spitefulness it saps your energy. You're just less productive. And so as an individual worker, look for signs that you're clinging to this resentment over being unfairly treated and how it's robbing you of your own productivity. And if you're a leader, if you're a leader of a team or of an organization, then it's really important to look for evidence of this of people who work for you as well to eliminate this waste.
Let me remind our listeners that I'm Barry List of Informs, and you're listening to a podcast with Jake Breeden, the author of Tipping Sacred Cows. What sacred cow do you associate with creativity? Normally we think of creativity as something that brings a fresh face to business, to life.
Right. Well, in the same way that fairness is often just spite in disguise, creativity is often just narcissism in disguise. And this has been shown through some fairly compelling research that started out at the University of Berkeley that was able to correlate the perception of creativity with scores on the narcissistic personality disorder test. So it's been shown conclusively that we confuse narcissism with creativity. When we see someone presenting an idea, we tend to rate it as being more creative if the speaker, the generator of the idea, is a narcissist. So beware be on the lookout for narcissism in disguise as creativity.
So the person who projects a certain charisma in their moment of expressing what they've created, maybe misleading us.
Yeah, that's right. And on the other side, so that's the supply side, if you'd like, of the marketplace of ideas. The supply side is there's lots of narcissists generating lots of ideas that we can be tricked into thinking they're creative. And on the demand side, we as consumers of newness tend to crave novelty, and we overestimate how much our future selves will be satisfied by this novelty. You've heard the very simple aphorism, the grass is always greener on the other side. Well, the research bears this out, that we crave novelty. We want to know what we're not experiencing, and we assume that it's better than what we are experiencing. So put those two phenomena together, that on the supply side, you got a lot of narcissists throwing out lots of creativity, seeming supposed creativity, newness in the workplace, and then everyone craves novelty to their detriment. You get this vicious cycle of newness for the sake of newness, novelty for the sake of novelty, and instead of useful creativity, creativity for a purpose. It is often the case that you don't need something new. You can just use something old, repurpose something that you already have. When you actually do need to create something new, you need all of your reserves, all of your spare IQ and emotional energy. So it's important that you haven't wasted it creating newness just for the sake of newness.
Now, when it comes to excellence, why would you want to lower the standards of excellence?
Yeah, so excellence is an interesting one. Excellence is the great argument killer inside organizations. If you're ever having a debate and you want to end the conversation, you just say, you know what, I think our standards should be higher than this. And it's really tough to come back on that and be an advocate for low standards. And I'm very suspicious, and I think we need to be very skeptical anytime a concept can kill ideas. That's when it's a sacred cow. We need to say, what damage might this concept of excellence be doing? And here's the damage. What it does is it eliminates risk, healthy risk, smart risk. Instead of being a risk manager, you end up being a risk mitigator. You squash everything down to perfection, but it's perfection as viewed through today's lens. You don't experiment enough. You don't get more rough drafts. The way in the book I tell the story of Pixar gets this right beautifully. They're my exemplar of having, on the one hand, very high standards for the final product. 14 films, 14 blockbusters, right? The most successful film studio in the history of the world by objective measures. And yet, they have a discipline, a daily discipline of sharing incomplete work. And the leadership there says, you've got to share the incomplete work every single day as a way of taking the sting of shame out of the imperfection. Because inside Pixar, they don't want there to be shame associated with imperfection. They want more rough drafts. They want rough drafts, so that they get more versions, more reps, more progress, and ultimately a better product in the end.
Now, I think you mentioned that there was a fourth of your sacred cows, which analytics people can learn from. What was that fourth one?
Yeah, and this is one that I've learned from analytics people. So from the work that I've done with Informs, there was a vice president for advanced analytics at a large company that, let's just say that they're in the manufacturing business. They manufacture something. I'll keep the company anonymous.
Okay.
But this gentleman said, you know what our biggest sacred cow is? Our biggest sacred cow is safety. And I said, well, what do you mean? I mean, you're in the manufacturing business. You have to have a safe production line. Your eventual product needs to stay safe. I mean, safety is important. How can safety be a sacred cow? And he said, well, for us, safety is the conversation killer. So, of course, on the line, we need to keep our health safety, our health safe. However, when it comes to experimenting with new models, new ways of forecasting demand, new ways of looking at partnerships in non-traditional ways, using a type of thinking in one business that's typically used in another type of business, we actually need to get rid of this notion of safety. Safety's holding us back. And that was a very specific one for this person's company, but he had to help his senior executives inside the company understand that their deep and abiding belief in the value of safety, given their manufacturing context, was holding them back in other ways. So I thought that was a powerful one and a brave one for this person to share at the Informs conference. So I thought I'd share it with the listeners of your podcast as well.
And we thank you for it. Turning to one or two of the other sacred cows, you mentioned at one point that passion wastes energy. Don't you want business people like Martha Stewart to be passionate?
Yeah, passion is great until it becomes obsession. And too often, passion is just obsession in disguise. And when you look at someone like Martha Stewart, driven to prove that she could succeed, her backstory is fascinating. Her grandfather, a Polish immigrant, driven to open up a restaurant and didn't succeed. And then her father was going to be a physician and gave up on that dream. And finally, two generations of immigrants, hopes and dreams fell on young Martha Koistra's shoulders, who later became Martha Stewart. And at every turn, she was obsessed to get it right, to do the right thing. And too often, though, she was blinded by her obsession for success and made little slip-ups, some small, like being a bad boss and having high turnover, some large, like obstructing justice and ending up in a federal prison for 5 months. I think it's a demon that she's grappled with to this day. And I contrast her in the book, on the other hand, with Serena Williams, the tennis player, who has this kind of whimsical harmony for life. She's very passionate, but she's not so single-mindedly obsessed. She didn't take her father's urging quite so seriously because she's interested not just in tennis. She is a certified nail technician and can give manicures and pedicures legally in the state of New York. She's also become, as an adult, fluent in French, which is something I'm deeply jealous of, the ability to stick to it and become fluent in French as an adult, I think is very striking. And especially given she is the top tennis player in the world, even at age 31, which is an age when many tennis players have seen their best days behind them. So beware of passion that is obsessive. Look instead for that harmonious passion.
And when it comes to, I guess, not a person who's a hero, but a heroic quality in your book, I gather, surprisingly enough, it's not courage, it's something else. For example, the golden mean stands out in your book as the heroic quality that runs throughout.
No, I've, you know, one of the sacred cows that I tip is notion of balance. And, you know, the golden mean is Aristotle and the notion of moderation. Obviously, it's dangerous to tip the sacred cow of Aristotle, but I am. And I'd say too often it's used as an excuse. Balance and moderation and the golden mean is used as an excuse to avoid taking a stand. Instead, I think the courage to be self-aware, the courage to stand up against the status quo and to think for yourself and to stand up to these sacred cows is one of the things that can really distinguish yourself as a professional, whether that's in the analytics profession or any other. So I'm a big fan of courage in the workplace.
And final question, do you have any parting advice for both business people and analytics experts when it comes to tipping sacred cows?
Yeah, I think that you're not going to see the sacred cows in the day-to-day. So the final advice is to find a place or a method of taking a step back to wonder what might the sacred cows be that are holding you back. The mistake, the easy trap to fall into is to just give this as advice to someone else. But my final advice is for you, each professional listening to this, to really take a step back and maybe even talk with a friend to get some perspective. Maybe if you prefer a more introverted approach, you just take for a walk and reflect. But just consider, what are the sacred cows that could be holding you back from either greater success or greater happiness, or both inside your job?
That's all the time we have today. We've been talking with Jake Breeden, the author of Tipping Sacred Cows. Jake, thanks for joining us.
Okay, thank you so much, Barry.
And thank you for listening to the Science of Better podcast by Informs, the Institute for Operations Research in the Management Sciences. For more information about operations research and the series of podcasts, visit us on the web at www.informs.org. Good day, and remember, keep on crunching those numbers.